We've got the New England Patriots heading to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers as 6-point underdogs. This is Showdown Coverage brought to you by SharpFootballAnalysis.com. I'm your host, Adam Wilde. And before we jump over to DraftKings, I want to remind you to use promo code ANGLES to get 15% off any subscription at SharpFootballAnalysis.com. That is promo code ANGLES, A-N-G-L-E-S. Let's get into this slate. So we've got a 30-point over-under, lowest I remember in my life. I'm sure there had to have been some in the 20s at some point, but I don't recall any. 30 is absolutely insane. And the fact that it's 30 and the Steelers are 6-point favorites is just even a little bit more insane. But we don't need to harp on that because everyone else is going to harp on that. So don't get moral of the story. Don't go overboard with the fact that there's going to be so few points. It's scaled proportionally. So all of the players are involved in the low scoring game, right? So if the game had a 50-point over under, or the game has a 30-point over under, all the players are playing in the same game. So George Pickens might only be projected for 9 points now because his team is only projected for 18 total points, but he's projected 9 points relative to Najee Harris's 7 or whatever, right? There's no reason to go overboard in the slate because you get situations where defense at captain is all of a sudden 30% rostered or something like that, and everybody thinks that they're doing the plus EV thing. Really, the plus EV thing, honestly, it's frustrating because there is a solid chance that defense is going to be captain, but the fundamentally sound thing to do would be to not play defense and captain, potentially not play defense at all, and hope that it's just a relatively clean game, which it looks impossible to be the case. But when you get to play regular showdown lineups and actually be the contrarian one, actually be the plus EV one, the unique one, take it as an easy slate. You know, when everybody's making it much, much more difficult, that's when you get to have an easy night by just playing normal lineups, right? So you probably don't omit defenses completely. That's probably a bit too contrarian. One of the defenses is almost certainly going to be in the lineup, but just keep in mind, defense is going to be 60% rostered, 50% rostered, depending on which team you're talking about. But when they complement your build, when you're playing the Steelers defense and the Steelers defense complements your build because you're running a Steelers 5-by-1, that's when it makes sense. Just running 3-by-3s and including the defense because their median projection is on par with like Deontay Johnson's is just not really ideal. It could happen, and it will be frustrating if it does, but just consider it a night where it's like, okay, I know what the field's going to do. Let me just go ahead and see if I can fit some normal lineups. I will say the one thing is, since there are so many consequential players injured, leave tons of money on the table, but that's with every slate. It doesn't matter if it's 50 point over under or 30 point over under. If there's a ton of injuries, be comfortable leaving a ton of salary on the table, because a lot of people are going to say, oh, I've got Jamichael Hasty at 200, so let me go ahead and just, you know, stack my lineup with whoever I can fit. And while that might work at, you know, in one of your lineups at a 20 max, it's going to make it so that your lineup is far less unique. So don't be afraid to leave that salary on the table. So without further ado, Ramondre Stevenson already out. Ezekiel Elliott preemptively priced, though. So he's 9,400 and not someone you're overly excited about. It's not really, it doesn't feel great that I'm paying the exact same, pretty close to the same salary that I would have paid for Stevenson. I don't know why Stevenson was 10,600 to begin with, probably because the over-under was so low, but on a normal slate, you would get Stevenson 96 to 10,000, and to get Ezekiel Elliott around the same price doesn't feel like a fair bargain for me. But in such a low over under, you're going to want exposure to the running backs. You could get three into a lineup, but that's not just because it's a low over under. That's a fine strategy on any slate if the slate deems it to be viable. But you're going to have a ton of lineups if Najee Harris plays. You're going to have a ton of lineups with Najee Harris, Ezekiel Elliott, Jaylen Warren, and Jamichael Hasty, three of the four. So just keep that in mind in your building. If you want to give yourself a rule, max two, just because it's going to force you to be a little bit unique. That's definitely a viable approach to take. That takes you to George Pickens at 10,000. Keep in mind, Mitch Trubisky is starting. I forgot to mention that at the top. So Kenny Pickett will be out. Mitchell Trubisky will be starting. That doesn't really bode great for Pickens in the past, I believe. I forget when it was a what I guess it was a timeshare. It wasn't really a timeshare. It was Mitch Trubisky starting over Pickett for a time, and one of them favored the other. I believe that Pickett and Pickens always meshed, and Deontay always meshed with Mitch Trubisky, if I recall the narrative correctly. So either way, George Pickens is like more of your downfield target, right? We've seen a lot of special catches from him. We've also seen a lot of what the heck, how did you miss that from Pickens, and we're probably going to get a lot more what the heck when he's playing with Mitchell Trubisky. I will say you do want to give a slight bump to the guys that can do a lot with one play. For example, Deontay Johnson catching four passes for 35 yards. Probably doesn't separate him on this slate when there's going to be a lot of players scoring 7 points. George Pickens catching two passes for 80 yards and a touchdown immediately makes him, if you didn't play him, you didn't cash. So just keep that in mind. Maybe give a slight nod to Pickens. I mean, both Johnson and Pickens are in rough situations. So with that being said, you're not playing Mitchell Trubisky at captain and stacking him with Pickens and Johnson anyways. But when you have one of them as a one-off, or you have them as a skinny stack in your flex, just pick one, and I'll give the nod to Pickens because they're pretty much the same price. And I believe that Pickens can do more with less. So pretty much covers Deontay Johnson too. I mean, he's going to catch probably twice as many passes as Pickens, but how much will he do with them? I mean, he's viable for a touchdown just as much as Pickens is, but I'd rather, you know, hope for a George Pickens 80-yard touchdown than a Deontay Johnson 2-yard touchdown. So that's the route I'm going to take on those two. Ezekiel Elliott, we touched on as well. 9,400 is just doesn't seem great for him, but it doesn't really matter. You're kind of backed into a corner. You're going to have exposure to Ezekiel Elliott. I guess you can completely fade him, but there's just not a ton of viable options to allow you to fully fade him, especially since you can afford pretty much whatever lineup you want to do. The quarterbacks, the battle between Mitchell Trubisky and Bailey Zappe is going to be a tough one. I'm as depressing to have to talk about, but hey, we have football. We need to keep that in mind. So between those two, I'm going to favor Mitchell Trubisky because we're just going to stick to our fundamentals. He's at home. He's a 6-point favorite, 18-point team total as opposed to 12-point team total. So if I'm going to have to lean on one of these objectively bad quarterbacks, I'm going to have to go with Mitchell Trubisky. And like I said earlier, that puts me in the running for playing Pickens or Deontay Johnson because I need Trubisky to give me a touchdown. Just one. One will be enough. So Bailey Zappi's fine in the flex, but not really a necessity because Ezekiel Elliott's 9,400. And I think that it's pretty easy for Ezekiel Elliott to find a path to success as opposed to Bailey Zappe. The thing I'm most afraid of is fading the Steelers defense, not fading Bailey Zappe. So I will be underexposed to the Steelers defense, and that's far more frightening than being underexposed to Bailey Zappe. Najee Harris at 8,400. Of course, he's questionable, but this is interesting between he and Warren. And I've drawn this comparison probably 5 to 6 times this year. This is exactly what happened with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard to a T, almost to a T. I would have thought it came already, but I would bet we're 1 week away from Jalen Warren and Najee Harris being basically the same price, if not the same price, as we saw with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. And it was always the incumbent, Ezekiel Elliott, which ironically he's in this game, so that's funny, but it was always Ezekiel Elliott getting the slight price bump just because he's the incumbent, and didn't really make a ton of sense because Tony Pollard was the more electric back, but he was getting less touches, but he was getting more valuable touches in space. And you're seeing the same thing with Jalen Warren. It's sad because I'm a fan of Najee Harris, but the team seems to have settled in and how they're going to use the two players. And Najee Harris is going to be short yardage between the tackles, and Jaylen Warren is going to get the pretty touches, the screens and the zone reads and stuff like that, or outside zones and things like that. So Jaylen Warren's just the better option at 8,000, and then add in that Najee Harris is injured, but you have the situation where Najee Harris is injured and Najee Harris is more expensive and he's less exciting of a back. Therefore, ipso facto, his roster percentage is probably going to be lower. Actually, I think it's going to be about half. And then you find yourself back on the Najee Harris train. So with no other things considered other than who will score more fantasy points, I would put my eggs in the Jaylen Warren basket. However, in large field tournaments, I will have some exposure to Najee Harris for the simple fact that Jaylen Warren is just such an obviously better play that Najee Harris's roster percentage should be a little bit lower. We have Pat Freiermuth got an instant price hike at 7,400, and then you get Mitchell Trubisky in the lineup. So it's like frustrating because maybe I would have been interested in Patrick Freiermuth at 7,400 as opposed to with Kenny Pickett, more so than I would with Trubisky. But then you get yourself into another conundrum mentally because you have to decide, is Mitchell Trubisky even that much more of a downgrade? Because if I could just go into the slate building lineups pretending Mitchell Trubisky is Kenny Pickett, which I have done in the past with different quarterback situations, then I would say Patrick Freiermuth is a great play at 7,400. So if the reality of the situation is that Mitchell Trubisky isn't even a downgrade from Kenny Pickett, then Patrick Freiermuth is fine at 7,400. I just wish he was a bit cheaper. I think he could have been 6,400 and he would have been my favorite play of the entire slate. But when you're talking Patrick Freiermuth at 7,400 and George Pickens, like, I think that Patrick Freiermuth is a perfect middle ground between deciding between Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, because Johnson is 9,800 and probably going to get like six catches, right? George Pickens, 10,000. He's probably going to be targeted eight times. He's going to catch three of them and you hope for a bomb. Patrick Freiermuth can do so much after the tackle. He's so crafty in the intermediate routes. Also can draw some screens that you probably just take the savings, you take the high roster percentage, and you just include him. If you want to go Mitchell Trubisky, Jaylen Warren, Patrick Freiermuth, you pretty much locked in a ton of volume from the Steelers offense without sacrificing much in way of salary. Like, you still have enough money to do basically whatever you want because they're all middling prices. The only issue there is where you're going to get unique, because you've eaten your three roster spots with the three highest roster players. So that's something we'll have to do when we get to the builds here in a moment. You come down a little bit. You have Parker is questionable. I believe that he is leaning towards playing. Let me review that really quickly. He was limited participant, which means he is most likely playing. He's probably my favorite option. He had a pretty decent game last week. I think it was his first game back after injury. So he's a nice one-off as somebody who's just going to be involved. You know he's going to be involved. And he could have 8 points, find himself in the optimal lineup without Zappe. So I'm fine playing any of these receivers without Zappe. I'm just not going to play multiple Patriots receivers without Zappe. Like Hunter Henry, 5,200 doesn't feel great. Probably a little bit too expensive, especially considering Juju Smith-Schuster's 3,800 also banged up, but I believe also projected to play. And Juju's actually probably going to get the highest market share. So Juju at 3,800 is a fantastic option as well. But now we're talking about basically a cash lineup because Juju is just such a glaring, obvious pick at 3,800 that he's going to find a really high roster percentage, and you're just going to really struggle to put together lineups without being too mainstream, I guess is the word that I'm looking for. So now you get into like large field, you have to do things like playing Tyquan Thornton over Juju Smith-Schuster. Does it make any sense at all? No, it doesn't really. Tyquan Thornton's probably going to have like 10% less target share from Juju. But that's probably what you're going to have to do in large field, especially like if one of these guys misses, Juju Smith-Schuster or Devontae Parker, then you obviously feel really good about Thornton as well. Let's hurry up and get to the last player I wanted to mention. Talked about him earlier, Jamichael Hasty. Here he is, 200. He's stepping in for Ezekiel Elliott while Ezekiel Elliott steps in for Ramondre Stevenson, and he's actually got some juice. He was a starter for the 49ers for a few weeks and did really well. I believe he was a backup for the Jaguars, and he did pretty decent. And so he's actually got he's got some talent. So at 200, a guy that's got some talent that's going to get 5, 6, 7 touches, probably 7. Is very strong, but obviously going to be very popular as well. So let's get into trying to build some of these lineups really quickly. And I'm probably going to have a running back at captain on most occasions. So my way of combating the Jalen Warren roster percentage is just going to be fine. I will play him at captain, and I'll see you there. So then we will throw in Mitchell Trubisky. We will throw in Patrick Freiermuth. We'll throw in Ezekiel Elliott. We'll go down to Juju Smith-Schuster. And we have 8,200 here to do whatever you want. And this is exactly what I was talking about earlier. Look at all the viable options under 82. So you have Devontae Parker, totally fine. Hunter Henry, totally fine. Juju's already in our lineup. Jamichael Hasty, even fine. Leave thousands on the table. I don't care. Leave thousands. It does not matter. Leave 8,000 on the table and feel totally fine about it. So this is my point. I mean, even if I go, all right, say I want to go Pickens instead, I still have 5,600 to do. I could still fit Parker in this lineup, which I did say I don't want to go to Patriots wide receivers. And maybe I have to go back on that now that we're building, just because Hunter Henry and Devontae Parker, I both like right here, just because maybe 5 points gets you to the optimal lineup this week with such a low total, right? So maybe Zappy doesn't get there if Devontae Parker gets you 7 points or Hunter Henry gets you 5 points. So maybe I have to go there a little. Yeah, Boswell. Boswell could be totally fine there as well. Kickers are great options, obviously, in a 30-point over-under. It might be that each kicker has 15 and 13 points. And also, if you have a standard rule that you don't play two kickers together, which I do not, it's pretty rare, then I might take that rule out. And also, I might take the won't play defenses together rule out. I will definitely take the do not play running back versus opposing defense. I'm actually going to take, I would probably take most rules out of this. The only rule I'm keeping in for a slate like this is you have to correlate your quarterback with someone, whether it be in the flex or captain. You need to correlate it with someone. And I'm not going to play defense at captain. I wouldn't do it on a regular slate, so I'm certainly not going to do it when they're 25% rostered at captain. So if they take it down, more power to them. But more often than not, when defense is the obvious captain, they're not going to produce as the obvious captain. I can't remember. I mean, maybe I'll eat my words next week and I'll remind you guys, but I can't remember a time where defense was the obvious play and they actually paid off at captain. So just keep that in mind. You can go there. I would rather go there on a slate. If you want to go captain defense, do it when the Chiefs are playing the Eagles and there's a 50-point over-under. That's when I'm playing captain defense, when nobody else is doing it. But besides that, just this leaves so much on the table. You could take Jalen Warren out and just get really crazy for large field. All you would have to do is put in Najee Harris, and you just decreased your roster percentage by a ton. And you're still talking about, like, okay, you have Wright still. You have we got to figure out which kicker's going. Is it Ryland? All right, I don't have enough time to figure it out, but you'll definitely figure it out by game time. Guess what? They're the same price, so just make sure you click the right one. But you still have either Patriots kicker, you still have Patriots defense. Like, you have a ton of stuff, and all you had to do was swap Najee for Jalen Warren. So you're just going to have to make those decisions. You go Thornton over Juju. Okay, now your lineup has enough uniqueness. So we're running out of time. That's going to have to do it for today. Just make sure you leave tons of salary on the table if it fits you. And yeah, that's going to do it. Thank you for joining us for Showdown Coverage, brought to you by SharpFootballAnalysis.com. We'll catch y'all next week. Peace.